Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebe.
Let's go. Let's get it on. Oh, Peters.
Hey, got a fight. Thornton and Rebe are exchanging punches.
Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
All right, good morning. We are live at 716 Instigators. And don't forget, everybody, the Sabres are in Sweden today, 2 o'clock puck drop. That's a 1:30 pregame show with our, I don't want to say guest. He's not a guest. He's a mainstay here on Tuesdays and Fridays. Marty Biron is in with us. Brian Duff going to join us at 10:30. Darren Dreger at 11:30. And good morning. Well, first of all, Marty, you have set the tone today, and I have a feeling it's going to come in this or that. But you kind of gave us a little bit of a nibble.
I put you guys in a good mood.
Nostalgia, baby. There's music. To me, I can put myself in a spot when I hear a song.
Swedish music is the feature of the day because the Sabres are in Sweden. Obviously, if you're listening to the show and you don't know that. You've been living under a rock right now.
I just said it.
But what's your favorite Swedish band?
Well, no, we'll talk about this in a little bit there. This or that.
Why wouldn't we just get right to that one right now? Because it's such a good topic. Like, if you hit a grand slam, hit a grand slam.
Okay.
Can we, JJ? No, never.
No, JJ says no.
JJ says no.
We'll keep it later.
Ladies and gentlemen.
JJ.
Sorry, let's all sit up straight.
Petey, listen, JJ also said we have a very short this or that segment, and I've come up with a couple other ones, Swedish-related, that we can have a good discussion over. So I'm going to green light it. I'm going to green light that today and say let's go right into it. It's an impromptu this or that.
Are you just...
I got the old...
You chopping them out?
I got the point, though. I got the good.
Take that.
So basically, I started by playing... The look from Roxette, right? And I played it in our headset so Petey would hear it. And then all of a sudden, Petey started like, oh, what a song.
I almost started to tear up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
So then I kind of tossed a nugget over to you guys and started talking about Ace of Base. And basically what I wanted to know is this or that, and I was going to bring it up later, but let's do it right now. What's the better Swedish group of these two, Roxette or Ace of Base?
It's a no-brainer. But I forgot that Ace of Base was even Swedish.
Yeah.
And then Riv and I start singing the songs. And we didn't even hit the touch on the hit song. What was the hit song that she...
The Sign, right?
The Sign, that's right. Yeah, we were singing All That She Wants, and then there was another one that you started singing. But anyway, for sure it's Roxette. You think the boys are over there listening to Roxette or Ace of Base right now in the locker room?
So you know, I don't think so.
You don't think so? I'll tell you this. I would if I was them over there. Now, I played in that arena at the Globe with the New York Rangers for the Premier Series at the start of the season in 2011. That's the same year the Sabres played against LA and Anaheim. We did the same thing with the Rangers. I'm in the building and practice ends. And somebody says, oh, we got some great, great sound this morning in a mic check. And I'm like, oh, yeah, what was the band? And they said, Roxette. Roxette was in the Globe Arena. Exactly. There's like a mini theater next to it. And I missed the Roxette sound check. I would have left practice. I would have said, Torts, see you, bud. I'm coming back later. I got to go check that out because they were... Definitely a staple of my CD collection back in the days.
Oh, for sure they were.
I'm looking up the top Swedish bands, rock bands, and there's not a whole lot coming up that were.
Well, you know what the top ABBA.
ABBA is, without question, I love ABBA.
Yeah, ABBA is good.
But that's a tap in, though. You can't just. Listen, that's so obvious ABBA, to go and start.
ABBA sold 375 million album in their like history, and then Roxette and Ace of Base were at 75 million and 50 million. So together, they're not even a third of what ABBA's done in their career. So
what are you pulling up? Who do you have? Who the hell is Opeth?
Europe is Swedish.
Yeah,
it's
but
the
they're not.
Final
yeah, the
countdown.
Final countdown. Well, ABBA's number two on your list.
Who's number one? That must be a. Opeth is a
death
heavy metal.
Metal band.
Yeah, heavy
metal. Oh, they
Stockholm.
Love that stuff over
oh,
there.
Oh, they're heavy.
They love that stuff.
Same as in Finland too. They're big into the.
Well, Tony Ludman, I remember he's Finnish, right?
Yes,
Finnish or Swedish. Tony Ludman, he's Finnish. So he just comes to training camp for the first time. I have to drive him to the hotel, or I don't know where I was driving him, but. He loved, like, his – I put on – I don't know what I had on, like, probably something, like, kind of mellow 70s or something. And he's driving. He's like – he changed up my entire song and threw on some death metal. And I'm looking at this guy. I'm like, is this what you listen to? He's like, oh, yeah. He was like a total death metal kind
of
guy.
He was here for Captain's Night, right, because he was a captain the
we
one
saw
month.
Him in here at 716
so
the night
I
before.
Said, do you still play the drums or whatever? He goes – no, I moved on to the guitar now. I'm like, oh, yeah. He goes, we actually have a band. I'm like, oh, yeah, what do you guys play? He goes, same as usual, death metal. And they put the eyeliner and the mascara and the makeup and the whole thing. But he goes, I'm like, so do you guys have a lot of people come into, like, when you put a show together or whatever? He goes, there's not a lot of middle-aged men that like death metal anymore. Like, there are a bunch of 45, 50-year-old people that are playing death metal. in Finland over there, but no, you know who else is Swedish and was really good is Avicii.
Yes,
and yeah, he died.
He died, right? He's a DJ.
You know, last year, yes, but he was a DJ. Tim Bergling was his name, but Avicii is fourth on the list. So it's ABBA, Roxette, Ace of Base, and Avicii on that list of best-selling Swedish music artists.
Well, I just appreciate, honestly, you bringing up Roxette because, I started hearing it, and I was unbelievable. And I didn't even know they were Swedish.
Hold
I think I forgot
tight.
They were Swedish.
You know she's a little bit dangerous.
That's a good song, but not by you. Moving on. Listen, 2 o'clock game, 1:30 pregame show, Marty and Duffer. Duffer's going to join us at 10:30.
No. It's an NBCSN game.
Oh, that's tomorrow you guys are on.
Tomorrow we're on at 12:30 for 1 o'clock game. Today's NBCSN.
He's
about
walking
Duffer.
In the back.
He's in the shot. He's in the
there
shot.
There he is.
Making an entrance. That's Duffer. Love it.
So it's an NBCSN game, 2 o'clock. Make sure you're down here at 716 if you want to catch it.
Lots of people I know are planning on coming down and wanting to see RJ
packed.
And Razor and what they do. Because right where we're set up in our set right now at 716, we're on the, I would say, the north end of the bar, on the right side of the bar on the first floor. And there's a big screen TV and there'll be a table. And RJ and Razor will be set right here. You know, watching it
doing
on the
a
screen.
Play-by-play right here from...
Everybody in the place will be able to basically see them work. Like, it's not like they're hidden in the back room. They are going to be right at the end of the bar and doing their job.
What happens when this is a huge success and they call it an amazing game? RJ's never going to leave. He's going to be calling games from his sofa.
Well, as we did the 70s night the other day, we talked to some of the people that used to be on the press box in the 70s, and they talked about opening a beer and having a little glass of scotch and, you know, smoking a couple of cigarettes. So I don't know. Maybe RJ is going to feel at home and at the bar calling games.
Anything flew back then. Anything flew. You think that guy in Major League was a made-up rubbing whiskey behind his ear in the middle of the third inning? No chance. Let's move on here. I told Ribs, Marty, this morning, I said, if the Sabres can walk away with a split on this trip. I said, it's kind of, for me, I felt like it's a coin toss. You don't know what you're going to get from either team. From Tampa, they're underachieving. So we don't know if we're going to get Tampa right now or Tampa from last year. We don't know what the travel is going to do, the crowd, any of that. And I said split, and I mean, basically, you know, ribbed my head off.
No, I believe in this team. I know if they play their game and play well, we're playing a Tampa Bay team that has not played well at all for most of the season. I believe that if they go into these two games and they play the way they can, I think that they can come away with two wins. And I think that should be the focus going into both these games. One at a time, and I think they're winnable games.
I think they're very winnable games. From what, you know, the New York Islanders were just in the other day, and I talked to some players because they had just beaten the Tampa Bay Lightning 5-2, and I wanted to get a little insight as to what the game looked like and what their roster looked like. And from everybody I talked to, they said, it's almost like Tampa is identical line after line after line. There's not like one line that you say, oh, they're going to be really speedy. One line that, oh, they're going to forecheck and be very physical. And it becomes to a point where if you get your timing right and you can be confident up in the gap, especially with the defense, you frustrate Tampa because all they want to do is just speed game and play skill and transition game. And if you can cut that up, one of the guys I talked to said, Nikita Kucherov, probably 5 or 6 times in that game, came back to the bench and slamming the door. After a power play, slamming the door. And there's a lot of frustration on the Tampa side. Now, going to Sweden and having that week off may ease the frustration a little bit. But as soon as the Sabres, and if they do a good job, frustrating Tampa, stopping them in the neutral zone, not giving them any room to skate, and that's Kucherov, and that's Point, and that's Stamkos, and that's everybody, you're going to see that frustration comes right back to the top and boil right back up. That's what they need to do, not tomorrow. They
what's
need
the
to
most
do it today.
What's the most important part of the game for the Sabres? Is it to be able to run and gun with Tampa Bay and go tit for tat, or is it to play a more defensive, smothering style of hockey, wait for opportunities? How do you think that they're going to go into this game?
I'll tell you this. If they do a good job in the neutral zone, if they can, because Tampa is going to be wanting to jump up on the rush. You got Sergachev is going to want to join the rush. You got Hedman, if he plays, and I would assume he's going to play, wanting to jump up on the rush. If you stop in the neutral zone, you'll get 2-on-1s the other way. You'll get quick break 3-on-2s. You're going to have what looks like a run-and-gun game, but really it's going to be because your structure in the neutral zone is going to make it that you'll get the on-man rushes.
Yep.
It's not going to be, I'm turning the puck over, you get a chance, and then they're turning the puck over, we get a chance. It can't be like that. And that's the big key for me to beat Tampa.
I love the way the Islanders play.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's something like it's annoying. It's annoying to watch, especially when your team's down by a goal and you're sitting there and you're like, oh, come on, you need to get something going. And they literally give you – how come – I mean, I'm not saying that you should play like that, but that's not – isn't that the style of play you want?
If I was coaching a team, that they are exactly the way I would coach it. Exactly. Defense is
zero time and space for anybody with
the puck. Defense is the most important thing. And when you have – a team like the Islanders, you think that they're the most defensive team, that they're boring, that they play a trap. No, they don't. They do their job, and they do it exceptionally well in the defensive zone. They take away time and space, so they play less time in their zone. They have skilled players, but they're all buying in. Every single player from Matt Barzal, the most skilled player in their team, they're all buying in to defense first, and that allows them more offensive time.
Well, doesn't that kind of go back to, it's interesting not to go and reopen conversations or comments that were made just a couple weeks ago by Alex Ovechkin in the Leafs. But if you think about it, Trotz went to Washington and got them to play a certain way, and they end up winning. He leaves, he goes to the island. He's now had them figure out a certain way to play.
Yep.
And now they're starting to have success with some star players. I mean, I
got to understand.
There's no secret
though.
To it.
When players, though. Well, like, I know Barzal is a star player in its own right. Josh Bailey is a star player.
Not nearly as many, I should say.
But I mean, Josh Bailey led the Islanders in scoring with 12 points in 13 games or whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they are lighting it up with an Ovechkin, a Crosby, a Stamkos, Eichel, and Matthews. They're not. And that's what is so impressive with the way they play. They got Johnny Boychuk.
Do you think maybe it's easier, though, that maybe they didn't have as many stars?
No, it's not easier.
I don't mean easier from the standpoint of like, it's easy to coach them. I mean easier from the standpoint of getting those players who might not be those stars to buy in, because those other guys
did it in Washington with Ovechkin and Carlson and
but not right away though.
He didn't. But he didn't coach still, Washington the same as what he's coaching the Islanders because they're two very different hockey teams.
I don't know that I would say it's different in his way of coaching. It's just once they have the puck, the Washington Capitals can do things that I don't think the Islanders can.
Yes.
So you're willing to let a side of the creativity just say go with what your instincts are telling you.
Less structure and allow that high-end offensive ability. But
You have the puck.
But he had Washington play defense. He had Alex Ovechkin, changed his game a little bit, and said, listen, if you want to win, you need to change your game. You're one of the biggest parts of this team. Yep. You need to change your game a little bit. Alex Ovechkin did that. They were defensive, but they're not like the Islanders. Barry Trotz understands what he has on the Islanders. He understands that he doesn't have the same team as what he had in Washington. So they're coached differently. And, I mean, they're smothering. You look at for an example, you're talking about the Islanders being a team that, is a very defensive team. Well, they're not. They're not defensive. They just break you down because they smother you and frustrate you.
Right.
I'm looking at the last few games that they had in October. They had 4 goals against Coyotes, 4 goals against Ottawa, 4 goals against Philadelphia.
Yeah, but I think I think
and then you move on.
Surprising
they had
for me is that you're sitting here
5 goals against Tampa Bay.
You're classifying defensive style as zero offense when I
exactly.
But I feel like it's in a way it can
the
be the opposite.
And
Ken Danico, who's been on our show, said that everyone gave the Devils back in the day a terrible name shutting down or for being such a boring team, but they were also the most offensive team.
Yes.
They scored the most goals.
They scored the most goals.
You know, that's the point with the Sabres against Tampa. What did the New Jersey Devils do is they really clog up the neutral zone with the trap with Jacques Lemaire as a coach. What that allowed is teams to try to force things in the neutral zone, and New Jersey in return going and getting 2-on-1s and 3-on-2s and counterattack. Yeah. That is, I don't want to say sit in the neutral zone and play the trap and don't put pressure on the puck because that's not what the Sabres need to do to be successful. But just have a very good awareness of how you can slow down Tampa Bay in the neutral zone. When you have the puck in the offensive zone, go all out. F1 on the puck. F2, take a passing lane away. F3 high, jump on the next guy. Get some aggressive forechecking in the offensive zone. But in the neutral zone, don't take your chances. Don't be a D trying to step up at the red line because, you know, the puck's going to be moved. They're going to be by you. And you won't be able to recover. That's the big danger point there.
So that was the point I was trying to make there was, you know, with the Islanders and how they play. Isn't that kind of what we're seeing from the Sabres, though, in games where they've been successful? Like a style similar to that, just fast checking. Not necessarily physical checking, but just closing off players with the puck and taking away time and space. That's, to me, how I think this team will be the most successful against Tampa Bay in Sweden.
Yes, and one thing that you need to understand is at the start of the year, the first 5 or 6, 7 games, the power play was producing at a rate that was unheard of. We did say that they were going to come down to planet Earth because they were up around 50-60% on the power play, and they were one of the highest scoring teams in the National Hockey League. Well, as of right now, you have a team that's fallen off considerably in goals for. They were one of the top in the league. Now the top team in the league is Washington Capitals at 69. And Buffalo is way down the list, probably around in the around 20 with 46 goals for. Or 45 goals for. That being said, I still feel that this is a team that should not be trying to run and gun with a team like Tampa Bay. Even though they haven't played as well as what they normally have, I think they have the players on their team to break out in a big way. You have to honor that they do have a high-end skill set, and you have to try and smother them. Every player on this team defensively should be worried about defensive hockey more than offense. If you play good, solid defense, you will frustrate Kucherov. He'll take chances, and now that will allow your team an opportunity to move up the ice with the puck.
Instigators, we are at 716. Don't forget, game at 2 o'clock today. It's NBCSN today, 1 o'clock tomorrow. So a 12:30 pregame show with Marty and our next guest here, who's already arrived, Brian Duff. Looking good in the poppy, by the way, Duffer. They'll be here tomorrow, 12:30. And no, not here tomorrow. Sorry, the game is tomorrow. They'll be on 12:30, and the game's at 1 o'clock. Come down and check out the game today, 2 o'clock at 716. We're going to take a break. So that way we can get Duffer on here. More time with Duffer means more time, little pregame show with the boys. Riv and Petey will interview the pregame show here, right here on the Instigators. Coming up next after the break, WGR 550 and MSG from 716.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
All right, welcome back, and we are joined, and I say we, Marty, Craig, and myself are joined with Brian Duff, and I got to say this, the always very dapper Brian Duff.
I knew it would be an easy win today.
You know. Ouch.
So.
You came out swinging today like Hank Talinder came out swinging on Rib yesterday.
I heard Hank was fired away.
Like, PD, it wasn't you I was worried about, it was the other guy.
Three in less than a minute, I got roasted.
Yeah, so I texted.
No, truth be told, I'd rather be casual, but I just thought I'd, you know.
Well, you look good.
Act like it's a game day, even though we don't get to really work it.
And so. I like the poppy, a little Canadian touch.
It's the John Tortorella look, though, with the sweater vest.
So now I need to get a cell phone call in the middle of a
press
conference.
Talk to somebody's mom. But Tort's always, like, he gets cold on the bench, so he wears the shirt and tie, and then he wears a sweater, and then he puts a jacket over.
He just channeled Robbie Fatorik from 2 decades ago. Remember?
That was the turtleneck, right?
Hey. No, the sweater. Like, Robbie didn't wear the jacket.
Oh,
right?
he just wore the
sweater behind the bench.
Keep it going. Maybe he'll throw the bench, too.
Oh, one of my favorite moments ever. I was watching the game live when it happened. It was like, are you kidding me?
Do you remember that, Riv? Were you in the league when Fatorik threw the bench on the ice?
Yes. Yes.
One of the all-time greatest coaching moments. And the other one was Schoenfeld, and we asked him about it, and he just kind of slid by. He was like, yeah.
It's amazing he kind of fell off the map. He was such a good coach. He did, I think, so well, didn't he? Did he not? And
then he was all right.
Robbie Fatorik?
Yeah.
Yeah, until the bench incident, maybe. I don't know what happened to him after that. Did he ever surface again after that?
Oh, boy.
Not sure.
Internet
recovers.
Search away.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a conversation for another day. I will ask you this, though. Mm. We were supposed to ask Hank, and Duffer, you are a Sabres historian. Who's the best Swedish player in Sabres history?
You're looking at him on the current roster, Rasmus Dahlin.
Okay.
No, it's true. I mean, Johansson was poised to be as a first round pick, and they made the trade with Washington. It was, you know, Malarchuk came this way, and Grant Leonard, I think, as well. And
he only played 2 years with the Sabres, right? Like,
he was 120 into his career when he got traded, and he'd had a 40. I was just looking this up yesterday because I wanted to double check something, whether Dahlin's season last year was the best by a Swede, and he barely got by Johansson's. Both obviously were very impressive seasons for rookie defensemen. So, I don't, it's just, the crazy part to me is how few Swedes have ever played for this team.
There's almost as many goalies as there is,
half a dozen goalies and
six,
I think,
goalies.
11 skaters. I mean, that's just, that's, we're talking 50 years. And I realize that, okay, maybe get rid of the first decade, but you say that, the Leafs had Börje Salming in the first decade of Buffalo's existence, so it wasn't as if it was a complete anomaly to that. They were clearly the front, the pioneers, if you will. Inge Hammerström and Börje Salming, and then when the WHA happened and it drew more people from around the globe, and obviously the Winnipeg Jets were very European when they transferred into the NHL. Mm-hmm. You had Alf Nilsson, Thomas Steen, Anders Hedberg was with the Rangers, of course. You had a lot of guys back. It just seemed odd to me.
Why is that? Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Well, clearly Scotty was into drafting guys from there because you had Mikael Anderson, you had Calle Johansson. It was right at the front end of the 80s when they had consecutive years where they had three first-round picks. So the scouts were clearly there, and they took some guys. It's just, it's very strange that they never had that kind of impact on this team. And yet, when you do reverse history now, you think of recent Stanley Cup winners. I mean, obviously every team is kind of global by nature now, but you'd be hard pressed not to find a Stanley Cup winner that didn't have some sort of significant presence, from Sweden on it.
I don't think you can. No. I think you have to have Swedes on your team there. I think they're some of the best players in the world. They're I don't want to say robotic, but in a way, they're some of the best taught,
coachable, team players,
physical,
low maintenance, incredible shape.
Yeah.
Right. And
it's the way they've been brought up. It's the way that they're taught in their country. They're highly skilled. They all seem to skate well. But when you sit there a lot of times, and you have a few exceptions to the word, but
yeah.
Most Swedes are just really consistent in everything that they do. Mm-hmm. They're not elite skaters, but they're always very good. Their skill set is not super elite, but it's always above average. You know what I'm saying? They do everything very well. They play not an overly physical game, but none of them are soft and shy away from physicality. I mean, their whole game seems to be very rounded, and their personalities off the ice, they get along mm-hmm. with all the other personalities in the room.
But I find it interesting, as Duffer pointed out, that as we're seeing the highlights of the Rangers-Carolina game yesterday, is the fact that Lundqvist came over from Sweden and a Swedish generation of goaltenders came about. But other than Linus Ullmark, we had Jonas Enroth, but we haven't really dipped into the Swedish pool of goaltending as well to be like your stud goalie, because there has been a lot around the league.
Well, Tim Murray wanted Robin Leonard to be that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it wasn't one that we went and scouted and said we're going to draft a Swedish goalie and get him. Now there's a bunch of them in the upcoming, those European goalies.
What was it, 15 to 20 years ago that Finland was the goaltending factory, right?
Well, Tuskala.
Mika Kiprusoff was kind of the guy that all of them were following.
Yeah.
Right?
Gentlemen, Kari Lehtinen went number 2 overall in the draft.
You had Antero Niinimäki, Tuukka Rask. I mean, there have been a lot of Finnish goaltenders.
Mika Nornin, Marty? Mika Nornin.
Well, you know what?
There's a good glove in the office for Mika.
Got the eyeballs. It's got the eyeballs on
he
it.
He got a Mika. Petey's got a Mika Nornin, Brian's glove.
Every goalie I play with, I grabbed a glove.
Did you really?
I didn't steal it. They were given to me.
Right.
Marty gave me one after my first game.
It was one of those where he grabbed you by the collar and says, I want your glove. And then they're ready to punch.
Well, so give me who
or I won't chip that puck out on the wall.
When you guys you're saying like the Swedes that just kind of fit into the team dynamic. Like for me, from a team that I covered, the best example was the Ottawa Senators under Jacques Martin, late 90s into the 2000s, and they had guys like Magnus Arvidsson and Andreas Dackel. And all they did, they could plug and play anywhere. They were the lowest
throw
maintenance.
Throw in a little Alfredsson
but,
there, too.
I mean, exactly. He's the star power, but the lesser-known guys, right? I mean,
Arvidsson was amazing.
Dackel played with Yashin for the bulk of his career because he was a low-maintenance two-way player that could do the responsible stuff on the line. Arvidsson was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Terrible dark cloud hung over this guy. Like, he just, you know, he'd have bad luck with injuries and things like that. But talk about a physical specimen.
But his skill set was amazing.
But his skill set, super fast, you know, like, and coachable more than anything. And Ottawa was built that you needed guys that would be consistent for 82 games to get you to the playoffs. And obviously what always happened was then they would run into Toronto and get killed because they weren't
physical enough,
yep. Right?
The Swedish comparison, and I hate to stereotype like different players from different areas, but it was always like the Swedes remind people more of the Canadian
yes.
players. You know, you got the Russians who are all skill, and you know the Czechs are the same thing. But the Swedes and the Finns to a certain extent, but more of the Swede, play with grit, physicality, with toughness. Mm-hmm. They go in the corners. They play roles. They kill penalties. So I think that's why it's surprising, again, to know that there was only like 11 Swedes that play here in Buffalo in the last 50 years, knowing that they were that all-around very –
well, they certainly
player.
Didn't fit the mold. They certainly didn't fit the mold with Teddy Dolan, you know, the old stereotype
yeah,
of
no,
the
was,
European
well,
player,
at,
if you
want
to call it
that. Look at one of the most successful
then.
Teams. We're talking about Swedes. Look at one of the most successful teams in the last 20 years. Who is it?
Detroit.
Mm-hmm. And half the team was Swedish.
Right. Yeah, they were Russian first.
They were Russian first. And then
Furland,
but again, that's Scotty Bowman, right?
Of course.
That, going back to
Furland,
Scotty.
But yeah. Franz and
Holmstrom.
Holmstrom.
Lindstrom. Yeah. Yeah, you get all those. Before that, obviously, it was Fedorov and Larionov, Konstantinov. Yeah. They had the Russian five.
With
yeah.
Doug Brown as Brownov starring on that line for a while. That's great.
Doug Brownianov.
So we're talking about Sweden. Why? Swedish players. The Sabres are in Sweden. 2:00 game today. Come on down to 716. RJ and Razor are going to call the game, and it's on NBCSN. Again, 2:00 because they're 6 hours ahead. So they're already at the rink pretty much. Mm-hmm. A vast majority of them are just boarding the bus. Pretty
well,
cool moment yesterday.
O'clock, it's an 8 o'clock local game, and it's only 4:35. So some of them may still be sleepy.
They're still sleeping.
Or maybe
in the small beds.
Maybe nap.
Hotels over there in Europe, eh? The beds are about as wide as this table.
They're all singles. They're
and they're like that close together.
Rivs and I were like this in Latvia.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, how you doing, Rivs?
Latvia and Finland. I'm not kidding you. If I was laying down and Marty talked for, kidding you, an ungodly amount of time, what I could have done if I was probably smarter is just reach my hand over and put it over his mouth. That's how close we were.
From the far side of your bed.
While he's facing the other way, he can still reach.
I'm on the far edge of my bed, Marty, and I can reach you on the other side of yours. All right, but pretty cool moment yesterday in Sweden, though. Dahlin got to meet
his idol.
Maybe the greatest player, defenseman, history,
it's sweet for sure.
I think to a lot of people he can fit into a lot of categories.
Honestly, it's you should never even touch Bobby Orr as the greatest, right? But I mean, as we've seen in the last 30 to 40 years, the guys that would win multiple Norris trophies, the Ray Borks, the Nick Lidstroms, Paul Coffey's of the world, right? I mean, Lidstrom just kept going and going, and I'll tell you, I mean, Ken Holland said it repeatedly as Lidstrom's career was winding down that Ken should consider retiring the moment Nick does because life is going to change dramatically. Well, I think we've seen things change dramatically for Detroit for a number of reasons, not the least of which is that presence of Lidstrom disappearing, right? And I don't think even with the Norris trophies that he won that Lidstrom got enough credit for probably
not
how he
close.
Controlled.
No, he didn't.
Pace of a game for his team.
And most of the spotlight for the Norris was always on who leads the defense in scoring. Yeah. But Lindstrom had a lot of points, don't get me wrong. He had 70 one year, you know, 60s or whatnot.
But like we were talking about the other day when McInnes had 103 one year and didn't win the Norris,
didn't
right?
Win
like
because
Ray Bourque won, right?
Bourque won it. And that was Bourque's era. That was the big name. But you look at Lindstrom and And it wasn't flashy, but man, was it ever good. And Rivs, you probably sat on the bench, played against him, and like marvel at
so
what
are you
he was
saying?
Doing.
You just said two things. You sat on the bench and played against it. Which one was it?
No, but like when
which
when
one you, was it, Marty?
Were you on the ice when Nick Lindstrom was on the ice? Probably.
No, not really.
Yeah, you were.
No, I wasn't.
You were a top D.
The only time I got put on the ice with Nick Lindstrom is if we were playing in Detroit and they had last change and they like 52's out there. Oh, let's get out there.
I'm so sick of your self-deprecation. I'm going to tell you something.
Only,
you are
only
so
Petey
good.
Can do
I
that
am the only one allowed only here. I am the only one at this table that is allowed to perform self-deprecation.
Yes.
Not you. Not when you played 923 games, okay, in the NHL. Now, that being said, pretty cool moment.
Hey. So speaking of Nick Lindstrom, he played 20 years in the National Hockey League, 1,563 games. Do you know how many years he was minus?
Probably
one,
zero.
I think it was one, right?
Duffer yeah. would know.
One year.
Is it his rookie year?
No, it's towards it, the
you're looking at his statistics. Doesn't that stick out, that little number, minus two, sticks out
I
like
a I want to know
thumb?
How much that actually bothers him. For a guy that you know just carries himself
yeah,
so
they
well,
call
and nothing,
him Mr. Perfect,
right?
It's bothering me, and it's not even my statistic.
It's terrible.
I'm looking at his plus minus, plus 22, plus 28, plus yeah. 26, plus 20, plus 30, plus 8, yeah. all the way down to plus 50, plus 46, plus 40, and then you have this.
Then you have this, like what? Yeah. That's like.
And
there
is,
two, there
and,
is
and
something
throw in
to be
three
said.
More full seasons plus of playoff hockey.
Well, how many?
263. One of the most of all time.
How and are you minus two and have 62 points that year?
Don't
that,
know.
That you was know what I want to know?
That
is
was when he was 39. He had 62 points, 16 goals at age 39.
And Rasmus was 18 last year and had 43 points?
43, yeah. I want to know how many times Ken Holland got a call in Detroit, and somebody says, so you thinking Lindstrom would be available anytime soon? Like, he's getting
never,
old now.
Because the Red Wings were always in the playoffs.
Yeah,
so
but
I'm just
saying, as a GM, do you feel stupid to, like, even we really could use a guy like Lindstrom. Let's call Detroit and see what that guy is worth.
I can't imagine. Well, be an interesting answer from Ken, I'm sure, if people ever did. I just can't
I would want to know.
I just don't know why that would
because obviously Ellie called on Gretzky.
Yeah.
And, you know, they
different
probably felt, yeah, but they probably but yeah. felt a little silly saying, hey, would you ever be willing to part?
Like, is this something to crazy to think about when we're thinking, you know, Rasmus Dahlin last year had 44 points. Extremely impressive in today's game.
Yeah. Yep.
And when we're talking about a Nick Lindstrom with 1,142 points, do we feel that Rasmus Dahlin, with his skill set, moving forward as a hockey player, has the ability to touch 1,000 points in this league?
Yes, he does. I think so. I think you're
that was
seeing.
Quick.
I think you're seeing John Carlson now, right? Kind of being.
John Carlson's also what 29?
29. Yeah, but. I think what's happening again is the door is open for higher scoring defensemen. And we've seen Burns yep. and Carlson do it. But I think, I mean, what do we talk about all the time? Puck moving D, offense from the D, D joining the rush. It's way, way, way more important for them to be involved in the offense than it was at times, even during Lidstrom's,
yeah.
you know. So yeah. I think they're going to get green-lighted. I think we're going to get back into an era where you're going to see way more 70 and 80-point defensemen. So then first overall pick, your pedigree, your hope is that he's a 1,000-game player, so could very well be close to 1,000
yeah.
points, right? I
yeah.
mean,
would you think that 60 points on average per year
terrific.
Would be what, 15 years is 900 points?
Yep.
He'd be 33 years old, mm-hmm. and he'd have 900 points. Like,
that's,
he's going to play 20 years in the National Hockey League at
the
least.
Hope. Absolutely.
I'm going to tell you this. I think Rasmus Dahlin has the ability to be over a point-a-game defenseman in the National Hockey League.
Yes.
Which
and,
is
and,
hard to
and,
do,
and
which
that
is really
that
hard
is
to do.
Absolutely ridiculous to say, because very, 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 very few defensemen actually put up more points. Like, I think Brent Burns has done it in mm-hmm. the past couple years. I think Erik Karlsson at a point in time might have hit over a point a game defenseman once or twice in his career. I believe with the skill set of Rasmus Dahlin and his maturity moving forward, I believe just with his youthful hockey now, like, I don't think he's anywhere near where he's going to be in a few years from now as he grows physically and mentally and just understands the league more. I still think he's going to be a 50-60 point defenseman this year.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And he's not even anywhere close to where he's going to be.
Yeah, I know. I totally agree with you.
Is he, when you're watching this team right now, and I hate to use the word concern, but I think fans are, you know, that's their nature, is you're looking at everything. What is Darlene's play, where is it for you right now as far within the team dynamic? Is it one area that you're really focused on?
I think he offensively is absolutely fantastic. He's amazing to watch. My jaw drops as a former defenseman that played a long time and understand that when you're watching TV, it looks a lot easier than when you're on the ice. He makes things look very easy. The way he moves the puck, his fluidity, his skills are absolutely off the chart for a young man. That being said, he's a train wreck right now defensively. And that's okay. It is okay.
But he wasn't last year, though, right?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, as you get older, and I think the team has actually played much better defensively. Mm-hmm. I don't think Rasmus Dahlin has played sharp. I don't think he's still figuring things out. I know it's his second year in the league, and maybe last year he was a little bit more concerned about, I don't want to get beat. I don't want to make the tough play. Now he's getting a little bit more confidence in his game. The confidence, because he's still youthful, is turning into a few times misjudged plays, and he's going to learn from that. Defensively, you know, he's never going to be a complete defensive defenseman, but he's going to be playing 26 minutes, 27 minutes a night, and he's going to be in every situation as he gets older. Right now, there's a process to allow him to develop, and he's going to make mistakes. He's going to learn from these mistakes because his mental and his skill set will eventually take over. And, you know, I don't think he's been very good defensively this year, but I am not worried whatsoever. It's just part of the process for a very, very young defenseman.
We are at 7-1-6. We're going to take a break. Brian Duff, you going to join us again? Continue on. Darren Dreger at 11:30. We're going to do Dis or Dat. I just want to end this segment on this. Rasmus Dahlin, we were talking about Met Hall of Famer Nick Lidstrom. I have said it, and I believe it. Bobby Orr is the greatest defenseman of his time. Nick Lidstrom is the greatest defenseman of all time. The most versatile defenseman from any era, all the way through. It might be unpopular, but
it's unpopular.
That's very unpopular.
You know why it's unpopular? You know why?
It's unfair to say.
I don't think it's unfair.
It's hard to compare eras to eras, but Bobby Orr, come on now.
Like, no, I'm going to say the most efficient defenseman of all time. Longevity, points, defense, everything. Nick Lidstrom, size, strength.
There's a big difference here. Efficient compared to dominant.
Well,
and Bobby Orr dominated the game, unfortunately, for only a small portion of time.
And that's where I feel like greatness includes longevity.
It does.
I truly believe that. Anyway, we have to go to break.
He did things that no defenseman has ever done.
How many? You take Rasmus Dahlin, teleport him back, and we have the same thing.
If you take Alex Ovechkin in today's game and teleport him into the 70s, he would have
which is why I make the argument about Crosby.
He's bigger, stronger. The players of today have trained
him. We've just gotten to a dark place.
I have the ability to get you
Duffer
guys
and
going.
I want to talk to each other.
Two more road goals for Ovechkin.
Tomorrow, 12:30, you can catch Brian Duff and Marty Biron on the pregame show for the 1 o'clock game. Today it's 2 o'clock on NBCSN. We'll be right back. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG from 716.
Hey, welcome back, Duffer. It's time for you and I to have our own show right now.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, because PD and Rivs have had theirs, and we don't have a pregame show. So let's just, be partners again.
Okay.
And I think Rivs is going to jump in. Anyway, it's time for Dis or Dat. We did a little Dis or Dat at the start of the show. We said Roxette or Ace of Base, which is the better band. Because obviously ABBA is at the top. Mm-hmm. So we all were in agreement that Roxette was probably the better band of the two.
Right.
But what ABBA did is that they made a couple of movies from the music of ABBA. And Ribs, you've probably seen those two movies.
Love them.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you this or that. We'll do a Swedish movie edition a little bit here. Mamma Mia or Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. So the first one or the second one. Which one was the better movie?
First one.
You like the first one better?
100%.
Really?
I like them both, but I liked the first one.
Okay. Well, Meryl Streep, right?
Meryl Streep's amazing.
She's amazing, so you can't say anything bad about her. And Pierce Brosnan.
Yep.
He's in that too. And but I like the second one better. Petey, have you seen Mamma Mia?
I have. I saw the first one.
You haven't seen the second one?
Nope.
Date night. You should definitely rent it. And
I don't think that's... The first one threw me off. Pierce Brosnan, linen shirt, wide open, chest hair popping out, back up against the wall, and he's going, "'Cause when you're near me, darling, can't you hear me, S.O.S.'" And I thought to myself, I'm like, and here's my thought on that. I'm like, that's not Thomas Crown to me. That's not Thomas
There's
Crown.
Thomas Crown up here.
That's not the guy that flipped his sailboat for fun.
I'm going to tell you this. I bellied up on one of my vacations right beside Pierce.
Oh, you did?
Right beside him. And I was ordering a few cocktails for my wife and I. And my wife kind of gave me the nudge. And she's giving me the head bob, like, to the right. And I just kind of looked over. He was sitting literally as close to Duffer and myself. And I just looked at him and just kind of, all right, grabbed my drink and left.
I'm Craig Rivet. Nice to meet you.
That wasn't her celebrity list, was it?
Yeah, was it on her list? Duffer, you're not a big movie guy.
No.
You're more of a music guy. So we won't ask you Mamma Mia 1 or 2.
No, I'm just enjoying the conversation. Don't mind
okay.
me.
Okay, I'll ask you this, though. There's another movie trivia. Obviously, Ingrid Bergman, she's the all-time greatest actress to come out of Sweden. She was in Casablanca back in the days. But out of these three actors, which one is the better actor? And the names may not sound familiar, so you may have to Google them. The picture.
Dolph Lundgren.
Okay, well, wait. PD, we'll start with Max von Sydow. And if you don't know who Max von Sydow is, he's this guy here.
Pass. Next.
Who played in.
Yeah, Max von Sydow matters
he
what
was
it
a,
is.
He was the doctor in he was the doctor in Shutter Island. He played in The Exorcist in
Exorcist.
The Exorcist in 73. And also in Minority Report.
Okay, Max has been eliminated from
Dolph Lundgren.
Yes.
Okay. This, that, or the other thing.
I must play.
Stellar Skarsgård. And this guy is the Good Will Hunting. He's
Give me a picture of him.
Okay, where
He's
is he?
He's the guy that plays Professor Lambeau.
Professor Lambeau.
He's good, too.
He was in Thor, The Avengers,
he was also
Girl
in
with
Entourage.
The Dragon Tattoo.
He was Varmin or Vermin in Entourage.
He was the director.
Yes, he was. He was the director of Brave Souls or Nine Brave Souls.
No, it was...
Vince Goes Into the Fire.
Yeah, the Jumpers.
Right.
What was it called? Firemen's and he was.
That's right.
He was caught. Do it again.
Okay.
I need more.
Jumpers.
Dolph Lundgren right now. Anyone
Dolph
else?
Lundgren.
That's
okay.
That's all we got.
No, and then my last one. Okay, well, I thought we were going to discuss this amongst ourselves. So, my last one is Dan Dunleavy is over in Sweden and he's taking pictures of his food and his meals and first night with Swedish meatballs with brown sauce and then he had the raspberry tart. And Petey says one of the things that they do in Swedish is they have pea soup and crepes, right? So you eat your pea soup so you can have the crepes. So I'm asking you this or that. Better Swedish meal. Swedish meatballs with a raspberry tart for dessert or pea soup with the crepe for dessert. This or that. Rivs is hungry right now. I would eat both of them right now.
And I would always default to meatballs, no matter what the accompanying dessert
is. I really
is.
Like pea soup, though.
Not over meatballs.
Yeah, but crepes over raspberry tart.
That's the thing. If you were to switch that,
I think you guys are sweet tooth, and I'm more meat and potatoes, so.
Are you okay? Yeah.
But you can't get the crepes unless you eat the pea soup.
Right.
That's the rule.
I would pinch my
nose
and
It was there. Well, it's the another brick in the wall, but only it's you can't eat your pudding unless you eat your meat.
Yeah.
Okay. But whatever comes to the whole pinch your nose, drink the soup.
He's like me on every movie discussion.
That's because Rivs doesn't listen to lyrics. He just listens to the beat.
Absolutely.
Yes. That's exactly what I
do. He marches to the beat. He doesn't fall into the emotion of the song.
Rivs, I do the same thing. I go back to looking at lyrics of songs, and I pull them up, and I'm like, what? That's what they're saying? I just like the
literally
beat.
Rain Man of music, videos,
I
movies.
I think
I don't even understand.
No, two of them are pretty good.
I think if we came on the show and you opened the show and you questioned our audience, and I don't know what the demographic is, probably 18 to 54, and if you said, to be exact, so if you were to pull that, say, what line is this from? How can you have any pudding if you don't eat your meat? Any single person out there will say that is a lyric from Another Brick in the Wall.
Right.
You wouldn't?
No,
I would
see,
never
the
really
gallery, the 18, oh my God. The 18 to 54.
The millennial.
Wow. Right,
no. You guys never had Another Brick in the Wall, the double disc? Double disc. They don't even know what a disc is. Jeez, I'm looking at them like, you guys ever had a CD? They're like, what's a CD? Is that like a money account or something?
It's a compact disc. Okay, well, listen, we got to go to break because we have Petey's update. We have Darren Dreger at 11:30.
Do you have any more?
Duffer, are you staying for the 11 o'clock?
I'm just going to heckle.
You're going to heckle? Okay, you'll be in the gallery, the guy throwing napkins and knives and
it
forks.
Is a bar, after all. I probably won't leave.
It is a bar. Please come down. Come down, everybody. You have plenty of time to catch the second half of the show. You can catch Rob Ray and RJ calling
Smoke
the game.
Smoke Jumpers.
Smoke Jumpers. Thank you very much. And we're going to take a break here on the Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. Thanks, Duffer.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.